The 2012 Grace Doctrine Church Annual Congregational Meeting is called to order. I would like Pastor Griffin to open the proceedings with prayer.
Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for this period of time where we can analyze the affairs of Grace Doctrine Church, which you have blessed over the past year. We thank you for your mercy, your provisions, and your grace. We therefore ask your guidance during this meeting, so that we might understand the grace that you have provided. We lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.
Mr. Secretary, do we have a quorum? Oh, there you are. We'll get on up here and read the minutes from 2011 annual meeting. You go ahead and read them there. That's fine.
The annual congregational meeting for Grace Doctrine Church was held during second session on Sunday, 6 February 2011. The chairman of the Board of Deacons, Dr. Weldon Schott, was introduced by Pastor Griffin, and Chairman Schott called the meeting to order. Pastor Griffin opened the meeting in prayer, and the chairman asked the secretary if a quorum was present, and the secretary responded in the affirmative. The secretary read the minutes from 14 February 2010. A motion was made by Tim Hunt and seconded by Vic Modier, and the motion to approve the minutes by the congregation passed unanimously. The chairman presented the agenda, approval of the minutes from previous year's annual meeting, ratification of Pastor Griffin's nominations for the 2011 Board of Deacons, a 2010 annual financial report, missionary update, and Joe Griffin Media Ministries update. The chairman proceeded with the ratification of nominations for the 2011 Board of Deacons. The ballots were distributed to the congregation. Votes were cast, ballots collected, and counted, led by Jim Hunt. The chairman was informed that all nominations had been successfully ratified by the congregation. The chairman introduced Lou Basso for the presentation of the 2010 annual financial report. Mr. Basso reported on the finances for Grace Doctrine Church and Joe Griffin Media Ministries. Gary Watson presented a missionary update. Paul Davey presented a Joe Griffin Media Ministries update. Chairman Schott then asked if there was any other new business or questions. Since there were none, he asked Pastor Griffin if he had any additional comments. Pastor Griffin then thanked Danny Hunt for his service to Grace Doctrine Church and to Joe Griffin Media Ministries. The chairman then entertained a motion to adjourn. The motion was made by Mr. Tom Wojciechowski and seconded by Mr. Tim Hunt. The motion passed unanimously, and Pastor Griffin closed the meeting in prayer.
That reminds me of something. This is a true story. Phil Marshall Wellington was instrumental in defeating Napoleon, along with the Russians and some other folks. And there had been enmity a long time between France and England. And Napoleon II thought it would help things if he invited Wellington over when he was an old, tottering old man to sort of smooth things over. So he invited him to Versailles. I got this from the Smithsonian Magazine. And so he comes in arm in arm with Wellington, who's doing his best to even walk. And there was an honor guard lining all four walls of the Hall of Mirrors in Versailles. And when Napoleon got him in, the honor guard did an about face and faced the wall rather than look at Wellington. And Napoleon red-faced said, "Dear Lord Wellington, I'm so embarrassed that they would do this, but wounds run deep and wounds run long." And Wellington responded and said, "My dear Napoleon, it is all right. I have seen their backs before." Only once in a lifetime does somebody get to say something like that, I bet. Now we're going to have the presentation and the election of the Board of Deacons. Does everyone have a ballot that is of age? Joe? Yes. While you're doing that, I will entertain a motion from the congregation to approve the minutes for 2011 as read. Do I hear a motion? Timmy, okay. Is there a second? Tom, all those in favor? All opposed? Motion carried. Did you say there's something else I need to do? No, okay. While you're deliberating this, I found some appropriate military quotes, and I guess there's not everyone served here, but I think you will understand these. I was told a dead, the first one and the last one are somewhat biblical. A dead terrorist is a peaceful terrorist. Blessed be the peacemakers. Before World War II got started, this was true. You know, Churchill was pretty quippy. And the German diplomat, the foreign minister Ribbentrop, had explained to Churchill pertaining to World War I, he said, this time the Italians will be on our side. Churchill said, that seems only fair. We had them last time. Some of the Marines on Wake Island, before they succumbed to the Japanese, gave them their all, and they were in radio transmission contact with Pearl Harbor, and the Pearl Harbor radio operator said, "Is there anything that we can provide you at this time?" And the Marine commander at Wake Island said, "Yes, send more Japs." Some of these I won't. Here's an Air Force one, Michael. Cluster bombing from B-52s are very, very accurate. The bombs are guaranteed to always hit the ground. If the enemy is in range, so are you. MacArthur said, whoever said the pen is mightier than the sword obviously never encountered automatic weapons. And remember from the U.S. Army Ordnance Manual, tracers work both ways. Gary, any ship can be a minesweeper once. Those who've been in the Army know this. Never tell a platoon sergeant that you have nothing to do. And don't draw fire. It irritates your buddies. Air Force ammo technician manual. If you see a bomb technician running, follow him. And Michael, the only time you have too much fuel is when you're on fire. And I think everybody agrees with this. Flashlights are tubular metal containers kept in a flight bag for the purpose of storing dead batteries. I had a biblical one. Oh, here it is. Before that, remember, helicopters don't fly. They just beat the air into submission. And actually, there's two religious ones. Closely monitor thine airspeed, lest the ground rise up and smite thee. And those who beat their swords into plowshares will plow for those who didn't. Okay. Are you going to... you didn't get my vote. I approved them all too. Okay. Okay. All right. With that somewhat hilarious thing out of the way. Next is not so hilarious. Gary is going to tell us about his missionary update. It's been a year since the whole congregation has got to hear this. So, the financial update. Well, it doesn't matter to me, but since Lou's next, we can do the financial update. We'll probably take a lot less time than the missionary update. Lou told me we didn't have any money, so he could just say that, sit down. This is the hardest part.
probably nothing as boring as numbers, except maybe Joe's classes. So I'll go through this as quickly as I can. As you know, I took over for Danny Hunt, who continues to work in the background, giving me some guidance. I want you to know, continue to send all your complaints to him. You'll find his address on the website. Grace Doctrine Church, the numbers are posted behind me. You will note that donations were $201,000 approximately, and expenses exceeded that by $40,000. One of the reasons last year, and it had nothing to do with me being the new treasurer, I tried to lean on people as much as I could. There was some expenses that were incurred as a one-time expense for the facility. But that being said, the care of the facility and insurance, particularly for the facility, doubled. So in 2012, we hope some of those numbers will go down. For you to get a little bit of an understanding, after salary is taken out, the building expenses run about 25%, and insurance is about 25% of the cost for the building, the equipment, and various other needs of the church. Are there any questions on, yes, Mr. Hunt? Well, this is going to be presented to the board, but basically the budget remains at about $22,000 per month. And that covers expenses and creates a little bit of reserve. And one of the reasons we were able to cover last year's additional expenses was because we had built up a reserve, which is last year was based on $15,000 to $16,000 a month budgeted. The fact is, the way the church operates, and you're probably very familiar with this as well, looking at the financial statements when they come out, and I'll try and be a little bit more punctual in getting those out, but there are periods of highs and lows in donations. Last year, 2011, was a very difficult year economically for a lot of people. But through the graceful giving of a lot of people, we were able to get a good start for 2012. I will say that many of you follow the admonition not to let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. But I know some of you don't do that because how tight you fold that money or the amount of tape you put on some of these envelopes, it takes me 5 or 6 minutes to get them open. So you don't have to tape every square inch of an envelope or fold your money so tight that it is a puzzle to me how you got it that small. Do you want to change to Joe Griffin Ministries? Yes, sir. I did not bring with me today, and I'm sorry, but I think current financial condition of GDC as of, and we just made a deposit, as of February 24th is about $50,000, 50 or 60.
So at the pace you're at, we need about $250,000 in contributions to maintain a $50,000 cash
if we don't want to expand the church and make room for all the additional members that Vic Mordeer brought back with him from Chicago. He was up there this week in the land of Barack Hussein Obama, and I'm sure you got lots of members. Is that right, Vic? He's ahead of our membership committee, by the way. Reverend Wright's going to be there. Okay.
So is that
To meet projected expenses for this year, it is anticipated that donations will have to, in the next 10 months, be at least $200,000. Yes, and the reason why is because we don't get donations in, shall we say, we get them in continuously, but they come in various amounts during the year. You may get 1 month that may be $6,000, and you may get another month, usually near the end of the year, that you may get $60,000 or $70,000 in 1 month. So in order to make sure the church is covered, the board has determined that we need approximately $15,000 to $20,000. That was in 2011. This year it'll be about $18,000 a month to $20,000 to cover the anticipated expenses throughout the year. So right now at $50,000, we have a 3 to 4 month reserve. So we're gonna keep the doors open for at least the next 4 months. Does that make everybody feel good? We all, you all ready to pray and shake and do everything we need to? God's been very graceful to this church, and there's a lot of, it amazes me truly that we always have what we need to keep the doors open through the graceful giving of people. And this is the financial situation of the church in view of the economic conditions out there. But we've never been in want in this church, and following what's been taught from this pulpit by Joe Griffin as well as Colonel Thieme and the books and what Joe's done, you know what? God wants this to stay open. It'll stay open. Yes?
I don't know if this is the right context to ask it, but assuming money wasn't a problem, when could I motion to make the building improvements? In particular,
there was discussions, so everybody know what's going on. When the church was initially designed, there was discussions regarding whether or not we wanted a steeple or needed a steeple. And because of cost and a greater need of putting a porte-cochere out there for the ladies, we forewent the steeple and did the porte-cochere. We have not looked at that. The board has not looked at that. And we would, as you know, funds are used for the church without being designated for a particular thing. It's up to the board to decide what to do with the funds. And it would all depend on whether to build a steeple or not, if there were sufficient funds to cover the church expenses first. And then it would be up to the board, and we'd have to look at a lot of other things as well. There are additional needs for the church that have been brought up this year. We would like to make this podium and this area more functional for church activities, and more particularly and more importantly, more functional for Joe. This podium restricts him considerably from what he needs space-wise, so this is being discussed among the board, and that will be an initial outlay to this is going to be movable, so you won't have this big block here permanently in case people want to do a wedding, and Joe needs some additional room. So that's what's being proposed initially for church improvements for 2012. Yes, Mr. Hunt.
If it's a question to Pastor Griffin, if it's appropriate, given the concept of a cross and steeple, is this something that Pastor Griffin is in favor of, or something that is a philosophy of the church? Is that correct?
Well, we've been here for 5 years, I believe. Or this is the 6th year. Is that right, Joe?
Three and a half? Four.
Okay, well, let's call it this is the start of our 5th year, or 4. I don't know what Joe's position was at the time. This was discussed with the architect originally, and I don't really recall those or whether he's interested. Maybe Joe has an idea he can tell people right now.
This is the first I've heard of a steeple. It's fine with me if we have a steeple. But it never came up to me personally or, as I recall, to the building committee about having one. We turned everything over to Richard Hayes. He designed the building. We tried to stay out of the way. And this is what we wound up with. I can tell you this. There has been discussion about the absence of a cross. And I have taken a look at the outside to determine where a cross could go. And one could be put on the front wall out there, illuminated from behind, and be visible from the street. That's one solution to getting a cross involved, short of a steeple. But just to be frank with you, the discussion of a steeple, that, and I don't remember much anymore, but I do not recall discussing a steeple during our building process. So I have no opinion on it. It's fine for me to have one, and I'm okay without it. This would ultimately be a decision of the board.
Does that answer your question, Mr. Hunt?
Sure. Well, I think in light of what Tom's question was, the concept is, can we put a cross up on the top of the portico? That would be obviously the place that would be most desirable, in my opinion, from making this look like it's a church and people go by and draw attention to it. That was the conversation I know that Tom and I had about it. That's speaking for Tom.
That's right. Well, we've been accused of being funeral.
Which, you know, there's a lot of truth in that to some degree, but we have had that opinion presented. Now, look, I think we should have a cross somewhere, but I've talked with Dana about things having to do with art. I'm not an arty guy. I don't know where to put a cross, but there are people who understand that, and I'd be good wherever it looks right. Really, this is a decision for the Board of Deacons, and all for a cross. Let's put it that way. But I don't think we can afford a steeple right now. That's just based on your numbers.
What if somebody donates?
It's not just a steeple. We're going to have to make sure the structure can hold it. I don't know that it can hold it without reinforcement.
Well, it would have to go on top of the porte-cochere, and that has been over-engineered. So you know, one of the reasons it was built the way it is to accommodate a potential steeple in the future. That's why those I-beams are so big. Now, whether the church decides to go ahead with that, and I know there were a lot of meetings. One of the things that were discussed in some of the meetings with the general manager of the property, the construction manager and the contractor when we were redoing the porte-cochere was the possibility of a steeple. But it didn't go much further than that because we were limited in funds. And we thought it was more important to accommodate the people in an auditorium to learn the Word of God than to have a steeple. Yes.
Lou, I have a two parts to my question. Number one,
are you the one that folds the money so tight?
first part is, did I understand you correctly that you said $2,000 our insurance cost doubled?
Yes.
Just about.
And they were bid.
I'm sorry?
And it was bid out. Part of that increase was because we added child care.
Okay.
And I don't need to tell you what's going on in the area of child care.
Right.
By the way, that position is still open if anybody would like to apply for part of it or all of it. The church is looking for somebody that would be willing to serve back there in the nursery area on Sundays. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
The other part of my question was, aside from limiting coverage and our policies, have we discussed
routinely, and we send it out for bids. Part of what's going on in the insurance market is you have a lot of insurance companies that are actually failing. And believe it or not, the fact that medical insurance has gone up so much is having an impact on all lines of insurance because they're spreading the profit margins to other areas. So it's affecting everything. Obamacare is affecting everything financially, including insurance even on your buildings, not just in medical insurance. And one of the things the church does as well is provide for our pastors' needs on medical insurance. Joe Henra is just reached that special peak where she now can get the benefit of some of the Medicare, which saves some money, but all the other medical expenses and medical insurance went up significantly. So, Johanna, thank you for reaching that special level. Not making. And I will say this: if somebody believes that they have some special finance skills or planning skills or a way to manage the funds of the church, or want to look at things and see where the money is spent, there is a greater itemized list of expenses that the board receives, but if there's somebody here with a special gift that want to help the church, more than willing to listen to any reasonable ideas. Anything else on Grace Doctrine Church? All right, I can't work this thing either. Oh, I don't even have to touch anything. Great. Joe Griffin Ministries actually did a little bit better, as you know, and as you would expect, just to give you an idea of where their expenses were incurred, almost 60% of its expenses went to media. And people ask what that means. That's the expense of equipment, not actually the equipment, but the software to run the equipment, the program or whatever they call it that allows us to live stream and do all the things we do. And again, equipment there was about almost 27% of cost, but we bought some new equipment this year to facilitate the distribution of the word and to make it better for people to stream. So some of these expenses will be less this year, but so you know, the individuals that give to Joe Griffin Ministries, 85% of the funds that they provide go to the direct distribution, and I mean direct, and then you add up the other small percentages, it's actually closer to 90% go to distribution of the word. There's some very small administrative expenses, banking fees, some accounting expenses, but 90% of the expenses goes to the distribution of God's word. Any questions? Mr. Hunt, I'm ignoring you for the rest of the morning. No. What can I do for you, Timmy?
Media
Ministries currently, I believe, is around, hang on a second. That is around $80,000, $80,000 or $90,000. And to give you a little bit of an idea about Joe Griffin Ministries, I am amazed at the number of contributions in the form of $5, $10, $20 consistently. The people that give in these small amounts, it adds up. It really does, which shows you the grace of God and the grace of people toward that ministry. It truly takes people that love the word to support these various ministries. Yes?
Is it the policy of the board going forward to keep the two organizations separate, or is there another ambassador who might transfer from one to the other?
No, the best thing for both ministries is to keep them separate, and they will remain separate. Joe Griffin Ministries does contribute to Grace Doctrine Church insofar as it uses the media equipment. So that is contributed to in part. Anything else? All right. Thank you for your time.
I didn't know you could fold like a quarter into several things like that. And I don't know how, I don't know if forcing, I forgot your exact word, is working out. Yeah. But it reminds me, I had a friend, we're both, we're trying to lose weight, and met him for lunch one time, and he said, so what'd you have for lunch? I said, Slim Fast. He said, it didn't work. Okay, Gary Watson, our man in residence, as a missionary, is going to report on his activities with his prison ministry and the young hoodlums. I mean, children that he trying to prevent Group A from becoming Group B.
Lou messed this up. I had a 60 minutes. Now I got to cram it into about 23, so we'll hurry. Hey, there's some kids. First, want to thank Pastor Griffin and the Board of Deacons, as well as the entire congregation of Grace Doctrine Church, including all the Doritos out there who have supported this ministry this past year. I hope that in the next few minutes that you will see how God has worked in this ministry by giving you a quick overview of our activities. Our kids ministry, we started with those children of those incarcerated 10 years of age or older. It now includes children from all over St. Louis who come from broken homes, kids who have lost their parents, and it also includes several children from Grace Doctrine Church. The kids from here are very helpful. They make sure everyone feels a part of the organization when they come out. They encourage them, they become their friends, and stay in touch with them. They even take them to homecoming. Many of you at Grace Doctrine Church have also come out and helped us this past year. You've provided everything from fish for our fish fry, your boat, your home, drinks, food, and most of all, your time. And thanks to each of you for that. I can tell you the kids look forward to our outing, and they can't wait till we get together. A note from one of our kids that says, Gary, thank you so much for all you do for us. I start getting excited about our trips 2 weeks before we go. I make sure all my homework is completed and my room is cleaned so I'm able to attend. Thank you for being my friend. We have Bible class to start off all of our events, and we focus on the basics. We've recently completed 2 Bible classes on authority. We continue to teach rebound and the old sin nature. We've learned what it takes to be a man and a lady, and along the way we found the Fantastic Four, studying Moses, David, Abraham, and ending with Paul. And they've learned that being an MVP for God is not an MVP of a sports team. It's completely different. We never fail to give the gospel, whether we're in a lightning storm waiting to go water skiing with the Humphreys or on a sandbar in the middle of a river during a float trip. This past year, we've did demolition ball, we've went to Six Flags, tubing and water skiing, and then had a fun day on the river. There's a couple of our kids. That's one at Bible class. Because of God's grace, we've had our second annual horse show at the Tyler Risty Farm, or the Risty Farm in South Dakota. And if there could be a way that it was better than the year before, it was. And it was all grace all the way. The kids responded. Dan and Deb Risty, they are incredible people. Sandra and Kenzie, They work so well with these kids. They give freely of their time and their talents with a lot of patience. And then on top of it, they have to put up with me living with them for a while. So it was great. I'm going to tell you a story about one of the young kids. That's our float trip real quick. That's a group at the horse show. I call it a horse show because after learning the ride at the end, we have an event where they get ribbons and they go out and they ride and they show their parents and friends and family. We had a young man attend this camp and he was either 11 or 12 years old. After the Bible class, I was walking around with Dan and I was harassing all the kids. When I asked this young man what he had learned that day at Bible class, he looked at me and said, "I learned today that if I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior, when I die, I will go to heaven." And then I looked at him and said, "But do you believe it?" And he said, "Yes, sir, I do." Now the rest of the story. This young man had tried to kill himself just prior to the horse camp. His first outing was being able to come to the Risty Grace horse camp. And here's a note he sent me via Facebook after the camp was over. "I had the best time I've ever had in my life at the horse camp, and I hope I can come again next time. Let me know what church you preach at, and I will come to your church. I want to come to your next camp, so please don't forget me. I loved everyone and everything at the camp." After the camp was over, this young man went up and picked up three books. He picked up Joe Hunt's book, he picked up Joe Griffin's book, number one, and he picked up Rick Hughes' book, Crash Course in Basic Christianity. He took the books, he gave one to his grandmother and one to his mother, and he said, "You two read these, and this one we'll do together." And you can't get better response than that. Several members of Grace Doctrine Church have asked if we'll ever do a horse camp here. And I've been working on a project for Deb and Kenzie Risty, and as part of that, I'm trying to rope them into doing a horse camp here. And it looks positive for this year. They've not committed. They're probably at home right now thinking I'm going to kill him. But we're close. And we're going to do one in South Dakota, right, Deb? Wherever you are. A few highlights on the kids we have in our group and who attend. We now have 5 in college. We have 1 in the Army. We have 12 who's made the honor roll. The ones who are not on the honor roll have all improved their grades, and several of them substantially, by 25 points or more. And there have been 0 disciplinary issues at home or at school this past year. We have a full schedule this year, and anybody who wants to attend, you're always welcome. We're glad to have you. Just come on out. Jump right in. The second area of our ministry is the prison ministry. And this includes teaching Bible class at prisons when invited, supplying class notes so that inmates can follow along with our pastor's Bible classes, MP3s, and we continue to send out Joe Hunt's books, Joe's basic books, Rick Hughes' books, and a few of the Colonel's books. I use the Colonel's books to answer specific questions. They write about tongues. Why should I try to answer it back? We got the expert. Write him a letter, stick the Colonel's book on tongues in there, and send it out to him. And that's the best way to handle it. This past year, we've sent out in excess of 150 of Joe Hunt's books and over 200 of Joe Griffin's basic books. I'm going to provide you with a visual to show you. That's at the horse camp also. A couple of our kids. A couple more. That was Demolition Ball a couple weeks ago. This map right here shows the prisons we were in at the end of 2010. Now if you look at how the Lord has opened the door this year, the ones in blue are the new additions this past year. And in these locations, we provide Joe's class notes, MP3s, so they can gather and listen to Bible class. And you can see how they've opened the door. And I'm going to read excerpts from a couple of letters I think you'll find encouraging. "I got the ride with the devil, and it is awesome, awesome. I've never heard Joe teach, so I'm really looking forward to it, and that will happen pretty soon. I've been swarmed with worry in every step of the way during the court process, and the worry really wasn't here in existence before I was indicted. I wear out the faith rest drill, and in 15 minutes later, I have to rebound in faith rest drill again. I know God tests all believers. However, I think as a baby believer, this type of test is unique. I study all the literature, all the Bible class notes, and all the books you provide, and they give comfort to my soul as well as the problem-solving devices that I use. After a life of tearing up the divine institutions and sin, the Bible refers to the sin unto death for those with these lifestyles. However, the Lord has really blessed me and allowed one more set of intensive discipline to turn me around, and I'm excited. He goes on to say, now it's on to my methodical daily intake of Bible doctrine and my own growth to work on so I can put on my armor and shield of faith. Another one says, dear Mr. Watson, Mr. Griffin, and all of Grace Doctrine Church, thank you very much for your wonderful gift of the Schofield Bible. Our church sends out to those when we vet them, when they've written long enough. We have some locations where we actually have prisoners, our chaplains who will tell us this individual can use a Bible. I email Joe Griffin, and Joe takes care of sending out a Schofield study Bible. So he's thanking us for the Bible that he just received. I can tell you that this Bible is already at work in my heart, and I have really no way to tell you now how it made me feel, except joy and that I was loved. I had just sent another letter to you when I received my Bible asking for book number 2, Safe to Die. I'm in 1 John 1:9 and then right to the Word. And I can tell you it seems to invigorate me and understanding. I've done a lot of time behind bars, but none of this quality that I feel now. Again, thank you very much. So we're having some impact. Now, there's a couple things I would like to tell you about. There's roughly 2.4 million individuals in prison or in jail in the United States today. And of those, 84% are coming home to a neighborhood near you. Of those, 65% will go back within 3 years. Of those 84%, 65% go back. In the last 5 years, we've had right at 100 individuals who have studied with this church be released, and we've not had one individual return to prison in 5 years. It shows that doctrine does conquer all. And in talking to Bill Kessler down at Barack, who has a ministry similar to ours here, he's had the exact same results. So that's pretty encouraging. We have to deal with a lot of different religions in prisons, starting with the Charismatics, to the Jehovah Witnesses, to the Muslims. When we get the opportunity to teach at a prison, we always start with the gospel because there's a lot of fuzziness out there. And then we cover rebound and teach basic biblical principles. Please pray for me as I go into the prisons and those that are going with me. And in fact, a week from tomorrow, Jim Hunt, Dennis Norris, and Jay Humphrey will be going with me as we go into prisons. We have 4 hours to teach, and they'll be going with us. Please keep us in your prayers. Twice a month, we send out the Bible class notes. Some facilities allowed to get magazines, and we include magazines when we have those as well as paperback books. Many of you donated paperback books. You've donated magazines. Several have donated furniture to those families of those incarcerated to help out, clothing. It's been a real blessing to a lot of individuals. Got another letter here. I'm just going to read a couple quick excerpts. Praise the Lord. I would like to thank you for the book, 40 Proclamations. The Theology of Grace Doctrine Church. It is very good and spiritually led, and I'm in unity with all the beliefs of your church. I hope you don't mind that I'm sharing it with everyone and telling all the brothers about it so they can get their own. I would also like to thank you for all the class notes. These are so enlightening and helpful in my personal Bible study. We have a letter here from the Missouri Department of Corrections. First of all, I'd like to thank you for your time taking out of your busy schedule to share the Word of God with the offenders. I think I can safely speak for all the offenders, staff, and myself in saying that the study you presented was thoroughly enjoyed, that your energy and the presentation of the gospel so clearly, and it was greatly appreciated. Thank you for your commitment to the Lord and sharing His Word, and we have you scheduled again to teach on March 30, 31, 2012 from 7 to 9 p.m. each evening. And then one last one I'll leave you with. I wanted to let you know that I really enjoyed your service when you were here, and it's nice to hear people who care enough to come and share the Word of God with us. I also want to get you, my children, introduced to your program because my 10-year-old and 14-year-old son have become problems for both my wife and my family since I've been incarcerated. And they've now hooked up with our group and are attending our outings. You would be surprised at how many want to learn the Word of God and transform their souls into vessels of honor. When dealing with inmates, you have to address eternal security, because many have a hard time grasping that people who do bad things can maintain their membership in the royal family of God. And limited atonement is another issue, because they feel they can never be good enough. I always remind them that your sins are no different than mine. Your sins just put you in prison. They're not any different than anybody outside. In the prisons, you encounter men who experience only despair and the acceptance of what they perceive to be an unfair life that cannot have meaning, and to see them suddenly build enough doctrine on doctrine that their perspective begins to change is encouraging. They come to understand that every aspect of life is predicated on the decisions we all make from a moment to moment. And it's not society's fault that they are in prison suffering friendless indigents. It is because of their poor decisions, and in this environment, you get to see men accept Christ as their Savior and grow to the point where they give thanks for their incarceration, because on the outside, they would have never given a moment's thought to the salvation message of faith alone in Christ alone. You see men for whom Bible doctrine has become the most important thing in their lives, and because of which their development of grace orientation is not impeded by their environment. And these men, every day, you see men with the prospect of sharing the perfect happiness of God as the objective they hold most dear. So we continue to have individuals referred to us from other doctrinal churches. I'm going to read you one quick excerpt. This individual is serving life in prison without parole, and he heard Rick Hughes' radio show, The Flatline, and he became a believer. And he wrote Rick. Rick immediately sent it to me. And for the last 3 years, this individual has been communicating 2-3 times a month. And he is the most enjoyable. Every letter I get, I can't wait to rip it open because I have no idea what he's going to say. I do know they've moved him out of the 23-hour-a-day lockdown and put him in an honor cell, even though he's serving life without parole for murder. And he's all he wants to do is talk about the Lord. And you're going to hear this in this letter. So, praise the Lord. God is all well. Thank you for all the Bible study materials you send me and your prayers and also your encouraging words. I study all your materials and then I share them with the other brothers in Christ around me. I have been doing God's work and spreading His word. My prayers go out to you, your family, the church family, and your pastor. I hope everyone had a godly Easter. Jesus Christ is alive and well in me. Then he says, look around and see what is going on in the world. Death is real, and this is not our home. I've lost my dad, my sister, other family members, friends, sister-in-law, brother-in-law, all killed in violence. They are in a better place, and I will see them again on the other side. Hug all the mothers for me and wish them a happy Mother's Day. May it always be Mother's Day. I can tell you, I can never tell you how good God has been to me and kept me safe and changed my life. I'm going forward with God and I'm not looking back. Prison life is no party or playground. Prison life is full of violence, gangs, death, drugs, alcohol, gay men, hate, pride, anger. Lord help me. Summer is coming and prison is no place to be. That was his letter. Now you know why I look forward to his letters. Every one are unique. The last part of our ministry is, and we're just about done here, is something that we're moving forward with the Veterans Administration and Hospice and acting as a chaplain for them. And we've named it No Veteran Dies Alone. And we've set up a program where if a veteran doesn't have a family member for whatever reason, they're estranged, they've lost touch with them, whatever. And then when they go in the hospice and start the Death Shadow Valley, then I get a phone call. We're able to go out and meet the individual, get to know them, spend time with them, share the gospel with them. And then when it's time for the transfer from time to eternity, they call. And then we go out and we sit with them and we're able to be with them so they're not alone when they die. So please keep this program in your prayers. If you have any interest in being involved, let me know. You have to take a little course on how to handle it. They tell you not to give the gospel, but when you're alone with them visiting, that's what you're supposed to do. Do your duty, and that's what we do. So thank you for your time and your support. Joe, thank you for letting me stand in this hallowed pulpit. Thank you.
Thanks, Gary. That was great. You know, any of y'all who have been at Grace Doctrine a while, and you think back to the old gymnasium and remember at halftime Gary running around with the kids, you know this job he's doing was a cookie cutter thing for him. I mean, he was born to do this with the kids, and his ministry both with the children and the prison, just I'm just amazed. I'd be honest with you, I think about it, I'm filled with an emotion I can't put into words. So thanks, Gary. I think it's extremely possible and very ironic that Jesus Christ may preserve this nation based on the thought in our prisons because of people like Gary. I haven't seen Paul Davey. Is he here? Okay. Would you like to give a media ministry update, Joe? Yeah, he would now coin a geek.
I've got one of my own, yeah. Thank you, Weldon. I'll keep mine short, but I do want to give a little report on media ministries and what we're doing there. It's as usual, we're sending out the MP3s that Danner prepares for those who write in for our Bible studies that are on disc. I've got a map to show you in a moment of what Media Ministries is doing as far as Doritos are concerned. But over the years, Dana has developed a mailing list of over 500 locations, and so the map wouldn't hold it. But nevertheless, there's still a large request for the recorded services that we do here. We used to do tapes, as you well know, and now it's on MP3. There are a few people out there who are not technologically oriented, and there's a handful that still want tapes, and she does provide those for the few. But nevertheless, the desire for the teachings on electronic contrivances continues, and we continue to provide that through the grace that keeps Media Ministries solvent. I've got a map here for you that shows some numbers on it. This is a sample that was captured by the guys from the cloud. I'm not quite sure what that is, but in order to get the video out of the building as well as the audio and these visuals, rather than spend the money on bigger pipes, as I've heard it, we went to the cloud, which can handle almost anything. And a sample that was drawn here late last year showed where we get hits to our live Bible studies. Now, each state that you see shows the number of locations that are involved. Texas, being the biggest state, has 11. And so there are 11 locations. How many people are involved in all of these, we don't know. But the summaries in the bottom right-hand corner, there are two foreign countries. For some reason, they're popping in on us. Unidentified locations are 25. A grand total of 106 identified locations involving 25 states and two countries abroad. These are those that log in live. And there are, of course, those who come in and check in to the streamed audio that is available. And I have no idea what the hits are on that. I understand it's quite a number. But when you saw Lou's presentation of what Media Ministries does, and that 90% of what we do has to do with distribution of Bible doctrine, it has to do with the website. There are actually two of them. The church and Media Ministries have their independent sites. We were advised several years ago by Baraka Church the reasons for separating the ministries. I'm Joe Griffin. I'm going to die. And eventually you will want to have another pastor, and his name will be Fred Jones. And Fred will not like to have Joe Griffin's tapes and MP3s lying around in his church. So you separate the ministries, and when I'm dead and gone, if people still want the stuff, they can get it from Joe Griffin Media Ministries and Grace Doctrine Church. And the new pastor can do his own website if he desires to do so. We also send out, as Gary's pointed out, to the prison ministry, we send copies of class notes. but we have subscriptions that now total better than 270 subscribers to the class notes that I send out in 10-page documents from time to time. And when I forget, I get emails from people wanting to know where are the notes. I can't tell you what a burden it is for me to do those notes. If I were just doing them for myself, I would not worry about misspellings. I could scratch out things that were wrong, like Sejanus, and nobody would ever know. But I am hell-bent determined to make sure that the grammar's right, the spelling's right, everything is copacetic on those notes before they go out. And so that is a time-consuming process. I can tell you that Media Ministries has recently published, as Gary mentioned, the 40 proclamations. Our next book has to do with an enlargement of our basics books that you see in the cafeteria over there. There are four of them, and they've been sectioned off into four volumes on purpose. That's to check positive evolution and growth of a new believer. They're interested after book one, they can go to book two, and so on. We've enlarged that, and John Smith has been the editor for this. He's completed this. We're going to call it One Day at a Time. We have the manuscript from John. I'll read through it one more time and see if there are any things that need to be tended to. And we have a lady down in Houston that is a member of Baraka Church that is also a proofreader for RB Theme Junior Bible Ministries. She has agreed to proofread our book. This one will be close to 300 pages. And as soon as she vets it and sends it back to us, then we'll do the front and back matter. That has to do with contents in the front, indexes in the back, and put it together and send it out to the publisher. Meter Ministries, therefore, will provide this for you and anyone interested once it comes back from the printer. The next book on the horizon is the Royal Family Honor Code. I do need volunteers, either locally or from Doritos, that would be willing to transcribe 50 lessons from the Royal Family Honor Code series. Transcriptions, that term means that you take a tape or an MP3 and write down every word that's said. That's what a transcription is. And we've had people in the past and still do who are willing to transcribe, but we can do it much faster if we have a larger number of people to do it. Once the transcriptions are done, we hand that to John Smith, who will edit it down into book form, and then we will ultimately publish that title. So that is what is on the agenda. I would like to say in closing that I agree with Lou Basso. As long as Bible doctrine is number one, that Grace Doctrine Church and Joe Griffin Media Ministries will be provided for by the grace of God. Somehow, some way, we will continue to move forward as long as Bible doctrine is priority one. And as long as you make doctrine priority one in your life, you will find the grace of God and His pipeline is continuously open, not only for your logistical support, but also for great blessings and prosperity that will come to you on an individual basis, and you will know the glory of God when that occurs. I thank you for your time this morning. I'll turn it back over to Weldon as we conclude our meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. I don't need a microphone, do I?
No, sir.
Okay. I would now entertain a motion to close of the 2012
am I supposed to?
Grace Doctrine Church
meeting. Apparently I have left an honorable member of the congregation off the roster. We need a prep school report from Mark Besser.
Where is Mark?
He's sitting right here.
Mark, come on down.
I prepared some remarks, so I'll just go right from them. So the overall objective of the prep school is to enable the children to enter the adult congregation at age 12 with a knowledge level capable of understanding Joe's Bible classes. It's also an objective that when they become adults, they will choose to make doctrine a priority and expand the pivot. Given time, the hope is that the use of Mrs. Thames' series of children's Bible study books can help us achieve these objectives as best possible. So the series includes the volume one, what God wants me to know. And one of the reasons I'm showing these to you is because you parents are able to take these home, and they can reinforce the doctrine that the kids are learning. Volume 2 is What is God Like? Volume 3 is The Persons of the Godhead. So this series allows teachers the creativity and their use of these training aids and illustrations in order to teach biblical principles. The pace is adjustable, can accommodate repetition, and they're going to need to get used to that before they get in here, right, Joe? And as teaching schedules call for changes in teachers, the incoming teacher can pick up where the outgoing teacher has concluded. It's also hoped to develop a means to provide the parents the ability to monitor and reinforce the principles they're learning through electronic communication from prep school teachers and the use of the children's Bible study books at home. Our plan is to have a promotion ceremony in this room every year around the August time frame, with Joe promoting into the regular Bible classes those who are or will turn 12 by September 1st, and promoting those who are or will be 8 into the senior prep school, and those who are or will turn 5 into the junior prep school. In any local church, of course, members operating under their spiritual gifts are critical to its function, and our prep school is no exception. We have been blessed with a number of people who are functioning in such a manner. So in the senior prep school, Mike Weber serves as the senior prep school committee and maintains the rosters of senior prep school teachers. He has implemented a formal class schedule, class rules, and a unique punitive system. Mike relishes every opportunity to teach and has developed some innovative lesson plans. Lindsay's smiling. He is also in the process of developing an electronic communication means to help the parents facilitate reinforcement during the week of the lessons taught on Sundays, so parents will be able to know what they were just taught, and that will be available. The current teaching schedule, in addition to Mike, includes teachers Gary Watson, Craig Fanning, Paul Davey. I don't know how he got in there. Dennis Norris and Lou Basso, with substitutes Tom Mitchell and Weldon Schott. We're thankful for their service. In the junior prep school, Dana Schott serves as director of nursery and junior prep school curricula and training aids. And I must say that the most recent training aids that she and Nikki have developed in the junior prep school appear to have been a big hit, both figuratively and literally. And I really don't know who's having more fun in there right now, David Meininger or the kids. That's good. It's evident that the junior prep school kids are really excited to come to Bible class. I see it out in the foyer when they come in. They're really excited to be here, and that's a good thing. So additional teachers include Sherry Modier, Becky Mueller, Dana, Erica Oxford, Lindsay Weber, and Nikki Jacobsmeyer. We're thankful for their service. In the nursery, Linda Davey serves as the nursery coordinator. We've got a bunch of cute kids in there, and the roster continues to grow. That's a good thing. We also have a number of young mothers who are positive to doctrine. So we've got families with parents who are positive to doctrine, and they're bringing their kids to Bible class so that they may also grow to be positive to Bible doctrine. That's a very good thing. So babysitting is an important need for Grace Doctrine Church right now. But that's a good problem to have. As many of you know, we are currently seeking within Grace Doctrine Church to hire a babysitter for Sundays. And the position notice is available in the table by the exit to the church, the main exit. We are open to consider interviewing those who meet the qualifications, even if they're not available every Sunday. So if you... anyone fits that category and you'd like to volunteer and be interviewed for the position, you don't think you're able to be here every Sunday, well, talk to Linda Davey. It's possible that God's solution is to have a schedule of several or more hired babysitters. However, God has currently provided a number of ladies operating under their spiritual gift who have volunteered to fill in, to fill the gap. Among those are Lana Jacobsmeyer, Dee Hunt, Kelly Hunt, and Kayla Humphreys. And I probably have left somebody out, and I apologize. So we're thankful for their service. So that concludes my report. Any comments or questions? Yeah, Tim.
Curriculum?
Well, Mike is using the Children's Bible Study series. And the thing about it is, it's pacing. It's kind of like Joe has in here. He may have a stopping point in mind, but because of various reasons, he may decide to expand upon certain things. So the curriculum comes from here, okay? It comes from here, and the way these books are designed, they allow the teacher to develop their own training aids, draw upon different resources, as long as they're approved resources, that illustrate the principles that are to be taught. So it's not real restrictive. And then whenever that outgoing teacher is done, then the next teacher is keeping up for, you know, where it's ending, and then they'll integrate right in. I don't know if that answers your question.
Thanks, Mark. Is there any new business, other new business? If not, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. Okay, I have a move. Second? All right. Without further ado, this meeting will be adjourned after Joe closes it in prayer.
Father, we thank you for this church. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your word. It is our prayer that we would move forward now into this next year, and that we would do so with your word as priority one and your grace sustaining us in the process. We lift our prayer in the name of Christ, our Savior. Amen. Amen.